مارك السهابة، The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على من اصطفى، سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان واستن بسنتهم ودعا بدعوتهم إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يقول الله تعالى: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته on this beautiful Sunday morning here in Durban, a nice and bright and clear day. And you are currently connected with conscience, consciously connected. Now, we will start our program with our first segment, which is on Tazkiyatun Nafs, purifying and cleansing of the soul. It is the month of Rajab, and this is one of the things that is included in the dua: Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban. O Allah, bless us in Rajab and Sha'ban. Bless us with the will and the desire to start cleansing our souls, cleansing our hearts, so when we enter into Ramadan, we are in that spirit that we should be for welcoming the month of Ramadan. Now, yesterday we were discussing the importance of ma'rifatullah, having knowledge of Allahu Azza wa Jalla through his names, his qualities, and his actions. Now, we have to realize there is no way to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except through his names and his qualities and his actions. How else do we get to know him? He is the unseen. So this is the only way. And of course, we must understand the meanings of these names and qualities and how it should impact on our lives. The very fact that his name is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Wadud, Ar-Ra'uf, all these names should have such an impact on us that we want to turn to no other creation except him. We want to obey no other creation except him, because his love is, his laws and whatever he does is based on his rahmah, on his mercy. It is based on his love. It is based on his compassion. All those laws are there for our benefit. So, occupying oneself with the acquisition of this knowledge, meaning knowledge of the names, the qualities, and the actions of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and expending all one's resources in the form of time, resources in the form of mental and physical energy and wealth to understand these names, is occupation. You know, this kind of, if one occupies himself with this, then this is an occupation with the no, or we say is occupation with the noble task. And one who acquires it, meaning knowledge of the names, characteristics, and actions of Allah Azza wa Jalla, acquires the noblest knowledge, the most superior knowledge. There's no knowledge that is superior to this knowledge, because this knowledge gives you a universal understanding of things. It is appropriate that the servant recognizes his Rabb is one of his essence, his names, his qualities, and his actions. Allahu Azza wa Jalla states in Surah Shura, verse number 11, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير. There is nothing like him, but he is the all hearer, he is the all seer. So this is how we get to know him. Get to know what does it mean when we speak about Allah Azza wa Jalla is the all hearer. Nothing escapes his hearing. He hears each and every word. You know, he even knows what is in our minds. He knows what is in the innermost recess of our heart. And he is al-basir, the all-seer. We can do something in the darkest of nights, in the darkest of corner, so much so not a single creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla can see us, but that won't evade the sight of Allah Azza wa Jalla, even though it may evade the sight of every other creation. It is important that the servant has knowledge of the following matters about his Rabb. Firstly, he is the only creator, planner, and sustainer. And everything else, without exception, is created. One's life is pre-planned by Allah Azza wa Jalla. And that is what, you know, taqdeer is about. Preordination. A plan that leads to Jannah and a plan to lead to Jahannam. There are two plans there. Hence, each of us has a place reserved in Jannah and a place reserved in Jahannam, as it is there in Hadith. After pre-planning our lives with these two plans, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us freedom to choose whichever path we desire. Of course, Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us assistance to choose also. One is the aql, to use the aql, reason, ponder, think, reflect. Pondering, thinking and reflecting is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do in the cave of Hira before Allah Azza wa Jalla tasked him with nubuwa. Besides aql, Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed books. And he also sent his anbiya and his rusul sallallahu alayhi wa salatu wa salam to teach us these books, to practically demonstrate how to implement the teachings of the book. And besides revealing books, sending prophets, he created everything in the universe as a sign that indicates to his existence, his oneness, his perfection, his all-encompassing knowledge, his wisdom, and all those other names and qualities that we know of is, you know, reflected in his creation. By pondering and reflecting upon his creation, we will most certainly be led to him. Further, there is not a creature on earth except that it is sustained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا وَرِزْقُهَا عَلَى اللَّهِ. There is not a single creature on earth except that its sustenance is upon Allah Azza wa Jalla. A single ant, the sustenance is upon Allah Azza wa Jalla. The largest animal on earth, the elephant, its sustenance is upon Allah Azza wa Jalla. The tiniest creature in the sea, its sustenance is upon Allah Azza wa Jalla. The largest creature in the sea, the whale, its sustenance is upon Allah Azza wa Jalla. There is not a single thing except that its sustenance is upon Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah Azza wa Jalla took it upon himself. Illa alallah. That is what the verse tells us. There is not a single creature on earth except its sustenance is alallah. upon Allah. The Mufassirun state that that word Allah, the preposition, indicates that Allahu Azza wa Jalla has made it wajib upon himself to provide for the sustenance of all. And if we can only internalize that belief, then I tell you that belief would give us freedom from being puppets and servants of other than Allahu Azza wa Jalla. One of the reasons we become puppets and slaves of other than Allahu Azza wa Jalla is because we entertain that belief that our sustenance is upon them. No. Once we get this right, this is what Imam Al-Hasan Al-Basri radiallahu ta'ala anhu states, that when I realize this, I fear nothing. Now, belief in this, as we said, protect us from becoming servants of any other entity besides Allahu subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, we must believe he is Al-Malik, Maliki Yawmiddin. That meaning is that he is the sole judge on Yawmul Qiyamah. And Al-Malik also means he is the possessor. Each and everything in the universe is his possession. Lillahi ma fis samawati wal ard. Everything in the heavens and the earth is for Allahu Azza wa Jalla. It belongs to Allahu Azza wa Jalla. And Allahu Azza wa Jalla created everything for the use of all creation. Hence, nobody has the right to monopolize any of the resources of the earth for a particular race, for a particular nation, etc. Because nothing belongs to anybody. Everything belongs to Allahu Azza wa Jalla. This is another belief that would, you know, transform us into revolutionaries. We won't allow anybody to monopolize any of the resources, you know, because nothing belongs to them. Further, the fact that everything belongs to Allahu Azza wa Jalla means everything is subjected to his laws. And you know, when we study the asma, the names, the sifat, the qualities, and the af'al, the actions of Allahu Azza wa Jalla, it gives us better understanding of the universal laws, the natural laws of Allahu Azza wa Jalla. And in that way, man is capable of, you know, using these laws, or through the understanding of these laws, he has use that is productive of the different resources of this dunya. Thirdly, we have to believe he is the creator, Al-Khaliq. Everything besides him is created. So it's really foolish to take something that is created and turn it into a god. You know, this is something that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in the Holy Quran. And further, the fact that man is Ashraful Makhlukat, the noblest creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla. If he takes anything besides Allahu Azza wa Jalla as his God, he has stepped down from his position of being the noblest creation of Allahu Azza wa Jalla. It's as good as he has lost his insaniya. He's no more part of the human species, because part of the human species is the noblest of Allah's creation. And if man gives another creation the position of Allahu Azza wa Jalla, then he has stepped down, he has put that creation above himself. So it's very important that we understand this. You know, Islam came to restore the insaniyat of man, the humanity of man. As we read in Surah Ar-Rahman, Allahu Azza wa Jalla, he states in that first, second, and third verse, how does it begin? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ar-Rahman. علم القرآن خلق الإنسان. الرحمن the benevolent, the merciful. That's how the surah starts. Then what we are told? علم القرآن. He taught the Quran. And through teaching the Quran, what happened? خلق الإنسان. He created the human being. So it is only, by adhering to the teachings of the Quran, can one maintain his insaniya, he can remain insan. Once he deviates from the teachings of the Quran, he has given up his status of being insan. Because only through the Quran can man remain insan. Fourthly, he is al-qawi, the strong. Everything else besides him is weak. So we cannot depend on anything else besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, because if it's another man that we depend upon, he is weak. He is on our level of weakness in relation to Allah Azza wa Jalla. How can we treat him as stronger than us and put our dependence upon him? That is also giving up your insaniya. You're stepping one level down, or how many levels down, we don't know, below that creation that you are treating as stronger than you. Fifthly, he is Al-Aziz, the mighty. Everything else besides him is Dhalil, deprived of any might. So fear nothing else. Sixthly, he is Al-Ghani, the independent. Everything else besides him is dependent. Only Allah Azza wa Jalla is independent. He is Al-Ghani, self-sustaining. Seventhly, he is the sole provider, Ar-Razzaq. Everything else besides him is dependent on his provision. Nobody can provide for themselves. They need Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah Azza wa Jalla has the most beautiful names and the most superior qualities. He is absolutely perfect in his essence, his names, his qualities, and his actions. There is no flaw in any of this. So man should not be hesitant to submit and surrender to him, because he is submitting and surrendering to a perfect being that never makes a mistake. If man only follows what Allah Azza wa Jalla says, you know, his laws, man will remain stable. Man will be on the road to progress and prosperity. There will be peace. Allah Azza wa Jalla states in Surah Al-Hashr, verse number 23, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْمَلِكُ الْقُدُّوسُ السَّلَامُ الْمُؤْمِنُ الْمُهَيْمِنُ الْقُدُّوسُ السَّلَامُ الْمُؤْمِنُ الْمُهَيْمِنُ الْعَزِيزُ الْجَبَّارُ بار المتكبر سبحان الله أما يشركون. He is Allah, other than whom there is no deity worthy of worship. هو الملك, he is the sovereign. All sovereignty belongs to him and none else. Al-Quddus, the holy. As-Salam, the peaceful. Also the perfect. That's another way of translating it. المؤمن the faithful, المهيمن the protector, العزيز the mighty, الجبار the compeller, المتكبر the proud. سبحان الله أما يشركون. Allah is pure, although the word Subhana is usually translated in English as glory be to Allah, but it actually means huwa munazzahun an kullil uyub wan naqaid, etc., meaning he is free of all flaws, all deficiencies, all imperfections. So this is what Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, Subhanallah, he is free from all flaws, all deficiencies, all imperfections, all shortcomings. He is free of all that. Oh, he is above Amma Yushrikun. He is above those partners which they associate with him. He is superior. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla has sifatul kamal, qualities of perfection, sifatul jalal, qualities of loftiness, and he has sifatul jamal, qualities of beauty. In that very same surah, suratul hashr, we read about these qualities in verse number 24. Of course, we can't go into detail with all the names that are mentioned in these verses, but that is going to be discussed at a later time, insha'Allah. Now, in verse number 24, what we read? أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ هُوَ اللَّهُ الْخَالِقُ الْبَارِئُ الْمُصَوِّرُ وَيُرِيدُ لَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Here we read, he is Allah, the creator, the maker, the fashioner. Now, you know, these names, Al-Khaliq, Al-Bari, Al-Musawwiru, have similar meanings. Imam Al-Ghazali, alayhi rahmatullah, he wrote a book on the explanations of the names of Allah. He says, one here, Al-Khaliq is the originator, you know, the one who thought this out. He compares it to, man, for the purpose of understanding. He's not equating Allah Azza wa Jalla to man. Al-Khaliqu is the one who originates the idea. Al-Bari'u is the one who's like the architect, draws the plan and builds it. And Al-Musawwiru is the one that, you know, gives it its final touches. So he is Allah, the creator, the maker, the fashioner. And to him belongs the most beautiful names. Whatever is in the heavens and the earth, glorify him. And he is the mighty, the wise. This knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the nourishment of the heart. Due to this knowledge, the soul is purified. The heart becomes mutma'in. It becomes tranquil. One who possesses this knowledge is energized for the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jalla through his remembrance, his dhikr, through his love, mahabba, his worship and servitude, ibadah, his reverence, you know, by revering Allah Azza wa Jalla or fearing Allah Azza wa Jalla, his glorification, his praise, and his thanks. Let us now look at understanding the azma, azmatur Rabb, which is the majesty of the Rabb, Allahu Azza wa Jalla. Allahu Azza wa Jalla states in Surah Baqarah, verse number 255, which is commonly referred to as Ayatul Kursi, AK 255, Ayatul Kursi 255, not AK 47. Now, we all know Ayatul Kursi, but we'll just read it. Here, in this verse, Allahu Azza wa Jalla states, as we read, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. Allahu La Ilaha Illa Huwa Al-Hayyul Qayyum. La ta'khuzuhu sinatun wa la nawm. Lahu ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. Man dhal ladhi yashfa'u 'indahu illa bi idhni. Ya'lamu ma bayna aydihim wa ma khalfahum wa la yuhituna bi shay'in min 'ilmihi illa bima sha'a wasi'a kursiyyuhu as-samawati wal-ard wa la ya'uduhu hifzuhuma wa huwa al-aliyyul 'azim. Now the verse begins with Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Now before we begin with the tafsir of this verse, let us first look at some of the ahadith wherein the merit of this verse is mentioned. This is one long verse. Now, firstly, we read in the Kitab of Imam Muslim alayhi rahmatullah, the Sahih Muslim, and Ubay ibn Ka'b radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Abal Munzir, atadri ayya ayatin min kitabillah ma'aka a'azam? Kuntu Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Fadaraba fi sadri wa qala liyahnika al-ilm ya abal munzir. Now in this hadith, which is of course recorded by Imam Muslim alayhi rahmatullah, Sayyiduna Ubay ibn Ka'b, as we know that he was a Yahudi before he became a Muslim, he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one occasion addressed him and said, O Abul Munzir, because that was his what we call kunya, do you know the verse from the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, which according to you is the greatest? He's asking him, according to you, O Ubay, which is the greatest verse of the Quran? And Sayyiduna Ubay ibn Ka'b radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, O Rasulullah, you know, in first time he said, Allahu Azza wa Jalla and his apostle know best. You know, out of adab. He again, on the second occasion, addressed him, Ya Abal Munzir, do you know the verse from the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, which according to you is the greatest? I said, Allah, there is no God but He, the Living, the Eternal. So on the second time he gave the answer, this according to my opinion is the most superior verse of the Quran. Thereupon, he patted me on my chest, you know, beat me on my chest, meaning he something a bit heavier than a pat, but not something that causes any grievous bodily harm. So he says, thereupon he struck me on my breast and said, may knowledge be pleasant for you, O Abul Munzir. because he gave him the right answer and it pleased Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this hadith also indicates to the depth of the knowledge of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, because they Ustad was none other than the one who was receiving these verses from the heavens, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. Then we also read in the Sunan of Imam Abu Dawood alayhi rahmatullah, an Wathila ibn al-Asqa radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, anna an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ja'ahum fi sifati al-muhajirin fas'alahu insanun ay ayatin fi al-Qur'an a'zam, فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. Now here we have a hadith where Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم himself is confirming what we read in the previous hadith about the view of Sayyidina Ubay ibn Ka'b رضي الله تعالى عنه regarding the greatest verse in the Quran. So here Sayyidina Wathila ibn al-Asqa radiyallahu ta'ala anhu states that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to them as a muhajir, a migrant from Makkah to al-Madinatul Munawwara. So one person asked him, which verse of the Quran is the greatest? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this very same verse, Ayatul Kursi, Allahu la ilaha illa huwal hayyul qayyum, until the end of the verse. So we have confirmation from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, besides the confirmation that we just read from Sayyidina Ubay ibn Ka'b. Now there is a riwaya which is recorded by Imam At-Tirmidhi alayhi rahmatullah, an Sayyidina Abi Hurairata radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man qara'a hina yusbihu ayat al-kursi wa ayatayn min awwali hamim tanzilul kitabi min Allahi al-aziz al-alim hufidha yawmahu dhalik حتى يمسي ومن قرأ حين يمسي حفظ ليلته تلك حتى يصبح. Now in this riwaya, Imam At-Tirmidhi alayhi rahmatullah relates from Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhum that he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whosoever reads every morning Ayatul Kursi and the two verses from Hamim Tanzilul Kitabi min Allahil Azizil Alim, Hamim, the revelation of the book from Allah the Mighty, the All Knower, whosoever reads the first two verses of this surah and Ayatul Kursi, he will be protected for that whole day until the evening. And whosoever reads it in the evening, he will be protected for the whole night until the morning. Then we also have another riwayah from Imam At-Tirmidhi alayhi rahmatullah, also on the authority of Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, anna رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لكل شيء سنام وإن سنام القرآن البقرة وفيها آية هي سيدة آي القرآن آية الكرسي. So here we read that سيدنا أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, everything has a pinnacle or a summit, or you know, the highest point. And the pinnacle of the Quran, the summit of the Quran, meaning the most superior verse of the Quran, or surah of the Quran is Al-Baqarah. And why, what makes it so superior? Therein is a verse. It is the Sayyida, the master of all the verses. And that is Ayatul Kursi. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is indirectly teaching us here to, you know, respect this surah, Ayatul Kursi, ta'zimu hazihi surah, this surah Al-Baqarah. And we know that Al-Baqarah has many, many virtues. Among them is to get negative energy out of your home. People are arguing and bickering at home. There's no peace. No, a working man, usually working people, when the time comes to go home, they're happy. They're going back to their family. But there's some people, they are in a dreadful state. I'm going back to hell because of the negative energy in their homes. And the best way to get it out is what? With reading Suratul Baqarah. All the ulama advise that when people say that, you know, we don't find any sukoon, any tranquility in our homes, any peace in our homes, the ulama give them the advice, read Suratul Baqarah. And you'll see peace and tranquility would be restored. Inshallah, we will stop at this point and continue next Saturday with this. For now, we go on with our dua segment. Yesterday, we did mention that dua is one of the noblest forms of worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla, proving one's dependence upon Allah Azza wa Jalla. And it is, according to the ulama, one of the best ways to gain proximity with Allah Azza wa Jalla. You know the one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَقُونُ الْرَبِّ مَا يَقُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدْ فَأَكْثِرُ الدُّعَى فِي السُّجُودِ. That the closest a man can get to his Rabb is while he is in sajda. And what should he do while he is in sajda? Make a lot of dua, because that would bring him even closer to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And then it was also mentioned that dua is the key for all good. Any goodness you want, you make dua for it. Wa miglaqun li kulli shar, and it is the lock for all evil. It shuts the doors to all evil. All evil striking you. It brings benefit. It's the means to bring benefit, to generate, produce benefit. And it wards off all harm. Yesterday we discussed these points, and we also mentioned that all those tests from Allah Azza wa Jalla, the chief objective of these tests, with fear, with hunger, decreasing wealth, taking one's beloved ones, afflicting one with sickness, and, you know, destroying the fruit of one's toil. The chief objective of all this is to get man to turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla earnestly. And we did quote the verse from Suratul A'raf, verse number 94, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وما أرسلنا في قرية من نبي إلا أخذنا أهلها بالبعثاء والضراء إلا أخذنا أهلها بالبأساء والضراء لعلهم يضرعون. We did not send to any village, any Nabi. Not a single village have we sent a single Nabi, except that we have taken those people to task. We tried them, we tested them, بالبعثة والضراء والتس as individuals and as communities. And why did we do this? لعلهم يضرؤون, so that they may beseech Allah Azza wa Jalla earnestly. Now, due to these reasons that were mentioned, there are many verses and ahadith that encourages us to supplicate to Allah Azza wa Jalla and teaches us the etiquettes of dua, the laws, the merits, and the wordings of different du'as for different occasions. In the Quran, there are many du'as. Hadith, there are many du'as. In fact, we don't have to make up any du'as. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us every du'a for every occasion. And we must always give preference to the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With him the deen was complete. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that. So even in relation to du'as, we don't have to make up any du'as. You want to read the du'as that were taught by some waliullah, because that wali has experienced that the du'a is very effective. There is no problem with that. But if the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also taught a du'a related to that very same matter, then also read the du'a of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the du'a of the waliullah. Because the awliyaullah, they enjoy closer proximity to Allah Azza wa Jalla than we do. And those people who enjoy close proximity with Allah Azza wa Jalla, they are favored with such bounties that we ordinary people, we don't enjoy those favors. That one hadith recorded by Imam al-Bukhari, wherein Allah Azza wa Jalla states, there is nothing with which my servant can get close to me and more beloved to me than executing all the fara'id, all the obligatory acts. And he continues to get closer to me. How? With the nawafil, with all the voluntary ibadat. And you know, the more nawafil that one makes with the proper niyyah in the proper way, one gets closer and closer to Allah Azza wa Jalla. So much so, Allah Azza wa Jalla becomes his eyes with which he sees, his ears with which he hears, his hands with which he, you know, does things, his legs with which he walks, meaning that person is in the hidayah and the tawfiq of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So most definitely such people would be blessed with favors that others aren't blessed with. And we know that the awliyaullah, they have the insight and the foresight that ordinary people like us do not have. So there is no problem to read a dua that was read by some waliullah. But if there is also a dua from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding that subject, then we must give preference to the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And with that, one can read the dua that was taught by any of the awliyaullah. So, as we are saying, due to the status of dua in Islam, there are many Quranic verses and ahadith that encourage us to supplicate to Allah Azza wa Jalla. It teaches us the etiquettes of dua, the laws of dua, the merits and wordings of the different du'as for different occasions. You know, from the time we get up in the morning, right up until the time we go to bed, and even when our sleep breaks at night, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us something. He taught us, we start our day with Alhamdulillahi alladhi ahyana ba'da ma amatana wa ilayhi nushur. He taught us how to end our day, Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya, and many other du'as with that, of course. And by reading these du'as, you know, at every occasion, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that at this particular occasion, read this du'a, at that occasion, read that du'a, what we are doing is we are getting Allahu Azza wa Jalla, the All-Powerful, the Almighty, involved in our affairs. We are displaying our dependence upon Allahu Azza wa Jalla. And Allahu Azza wa Jalla loves that. Now, it is these matters, you know, the etiquettes, the laws, the merits, wordings of different du'as that would be discussed in our du'a segment. The du'as that are mentioned in the Holy Quran, the du'as that are mentioned in the Ahadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, May yuridillahu bihi khayran yufaqqihu fid din. Whomsoever, how would we put this in English? For whomsoever Allahu Azza wa Jalla desires good, khair, what he does, yufaqqihu fid din, he gives him understanding of the deen. So in English we'll say, for whomsoever Allahu Azza wa Jalla desires good, he desires khair, he will give him understanding in deen. Meaning understanding in deen is the best form of khair, the best form of goodness. Now, the one who engages in an Islamic practice on the basis of knowledge and understanding receives immense reward for little action. You know, you take a man that gives sadaqah. His reward for giving that sadaqah would be doubled. O ila ashara ad'af. Oh, he is rewarded in tenfold. Oh, ila ishrina di'afan. Oh, he is, rewarded 20 times more. Bal qad yatada'afu ila sab'a mi'a di'af. Rather, it can even be multiplied 700 times more, he'll get reward. Oh, ila ad'af kathira. Oh, even more than 700 times more, he can get reward. Rather, sadaqah that is equivalent to one date, you know, just one single date. On Yawmul Qiyamah, a person can get a reward called Jabalil Azim, one date, as compared to a great mountain. What is it? You can't even see that date if you put it next to the mountain. A person can get such a reward for giving off one date, a reward that is equivalent to a great mountain. Now, these rewards, you know, the different numbers that have been explained now, all depends on many issues, like the niyyah, how needy the person was. You know, there are many issues involved here. Now, firstly, فَهَلْ تَصَدَّقَ بِهَلْ مُتَصَدِّقْ مُرِيدًا بِهَا وَجْهَ اللَّهِ. Did the person that is giving the sadaqah gave it with the desire of earning وَجْهَ اللَّهِ? People translate as countenance of Allah, face of Allah, but it merely means the pleasure of Allah. So that's the first thing. Did he give the sadaqah desiring the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla? That is related to niyya. La yuridu min ahadin alayha jaza'an wala shakura. He doesn't desire any thanks from that person who received the sadaqah. He doesn't desire that person does anything for him in return for the sadaqah. Then the next thing that the ulama discuss, you know, regarding the number of times a person will be rewarded for his sadaqah. Besides niyyah, they mention other points also. The next thing that they mention is, وَهَلْ هَذِهِ الصَّدَقَةِ جَاءَتْ مِنْ كَسْبٍ طَيِّبٍ أَمْ مِنْ كَسْبٍ خَبِيثٍ مُشْتَبِهٍ. That whatever he has given as sadaqah, did it come from pure halal earnings, or did it come from haram earnings, doubtful earnings? If it came from pure halal earnings, he's going to be rewarded. If it's from haram earnings, then there is no reward. إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ وَلَا يَقْبَلْ إِلَّا الطَّيِّبُ. Allahu Azza wa Jalla is pure, and he does not accept that which is pure. So sadaqah that is given from haram money, you know, money that is earned in a haram way, or if somebody is giving something away as sadaqah, and that something was either purchased with money that was earned in a haram way, or it was stolen or whatever, there is no reward for that. Did he spend this with pleasure himself? وَهَلْ أَنْفَقَ هَذِهِ النَّفَقَ وَصَدْرُهُ مُنْشَرِهٌ بِهَا وَسَعِيدٌ بِإِنْفَاقِهَا. Did he spend this, you know, with pleasure, with joy, happiness? If he did it with that, then definitely his rewards is going to be higher than one who gave the money grudgingly. Ooh, it's now time of the year that I have to pay zakah, and he finds it very difficult to give the zakah. Somebody just came to my door. This person is a nuisance. Finds it very difficult to give that person who has come to his door, who is genuinely needy and not a professional beggar. Islam discourages begging. So this doesn't apply to people who are professional beggars. People who go around begging, stretching their hands out for money, or things that they need, but they don't really need. They have the means to acquire it themselves. They have the money. Or, you know, they have what they are asking for, but they just want more. Such people on Yawmul Qiyamah, they will appear with their faces without flesh, like skeletons. Then besides this point being taken into consideration to determine how much of reward the person must get. وَكَذَلِكَ هَلْ وَضَعَهَا فِي يَدِ قَرِيبٍ مُحْتَاجٍ أَمْ فِي يَدِ رَجُلٍ لَا تَرْبُطُهُ بِهِ قَرَابًا. Did he give it, that sadaqah, to a relative who is in need, or to some stranger with whom he's got no relationship? If he gave it to a relative who is in need, then there's two rewards there. Firstly, the reward of giving the sadaqah, and secondly, the reward for nourishing that relationship, keeping the relationship strong. Whereas, if he gave it to a stranger, he only gets the reward for giving the sadaqah, not the reward for what we call silatul rahim. Insha'Allah, we will terminate here and go on discussing this issue about how rewards are multiplied, who gets more and who gets less, etc., in our next session. For now, we will go on a break, and then inshallah resume with our segment, O Palestine, and then we will terminate with our preparation for Ramadan.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.